Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there. Welcome back.
Welcome back, guys. And thank you guys for being part of this family and subscribe to all three channels, Evolutionary Arts and Heart's Home, the newest channel. So we were talking about Mount Popo over in Mexico. And now, you know, they say 3 million people basically are under evacuation orders, as Popo hasn't slowed down, and it is an active volcano, as we've been saying, but this one is showing no signs of abatement. And again, the closer you get to the equator, the more impact a volcanic eruption is going to have on basically the overall cooling of the climate. And of course, it does also depend on how far up it's shooting all those particulates. Isn't that pretty spectacular? Man, some of the views you can get when flying about on a plane.
I know. I think I'll just be reserved to getting a drone, maybe.
Getting a drone or you know, go about in your Merkaba, your light body, and you can view all this safely. Because again, and this is another view from ground level here. This is one that's starting to get more and more concerning right now. But, you know, again, we have this whole dire climate change, global warming phenomenon that they are pushing carbon-based emissions. You know, again, they're going to put meters on our butts to check our methane levels. You know, it's obvious where they're going with all this. Yet if we look closely, all the increase in volcanic activity, which I think I could say we feel, is going to increase, especially in the next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that too. It's going to go up and up and up. So.
Yeah. So again, you know, but they're going to keep going forward with their agenda, even though it's going to be pretty obvious. You know, it's like, put a blanket on, an extra blanket on. But Ma, it's August. Yeah, but, you know, it's cold. And at the same time, they're going to be telling us, no, the caps are melting, just like Al Gore did so long ago. We're all going to be flooded away by the raging waters because there's no more ice at the poles. Well, we might find some massive floods, and we will probably be finding raging waters in many areas. But it's not going to be because of the poles melting under, you know, natural conditions and all. And I still don't think the poles are going to end up melting. Look at this shot. The sun is making the ash such a beautiful color. Oh, yes. Mother Nature at her best.
Beautiful.
She will absolutely straighten everything out. So we have huge areas of Mexico blanketed in dust, as Popo volcano continues to spew ash and dust with 3 million ordered to prepare for evacuation. Yellow phase 3, at least 3 million. Now, Mexico City is one of the very largest cities on the planet. 25 million people live within 60 miles of Popo, about 45 miles southeast of Mexico City. You know, just to give you reference, New York City has about 8 million people. So this is like three populations of New York City that are within range of this volcano. 17,797 foot mountain, El Popo. And of course, also the gases are all going into the air. So again, we send our prayers that nothing violent happens. We see increased underwater volcanic activity at Ahi Seamount, alert level raised. This is the Northern Mariana Islands. And this particular volcano, underwater volcano, has gone off in the past, in the relatively recent past as well. And when I think about this, I think about, again, so many of those prophecies which talk about new land forming in the Pacific. This is part of the process. The Earth is always changing. Now, somebody had said, what do you guys get on expanding Earth theory? And I think one of the things to take into consideration is what we have gotten from the guides is that Earth, again, was Tiamat. All that cataclysm that happened that left the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter was not that long ago. It wasn't anywhere near as long ago as we might imagine. Again, they're trying to make it look like nothing has changed here for millions and millions of years. It's not the case. No. And in fact, if we were, and I wish everybody was able to just like all, if we could all just sit down, go into a meditation at one time, so you all could focus on seeing the rebuilding of the Earth from Tiamat. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it would be absolutely fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, more than fun. Wouldn't it be illuminating? Because, you know, again, the Earth moved from its position outside of the orbit of Mars to inside of the orbit of Mars because the volume of Earth was, you know, considerably less after, you know, the devastation of Tiamat. And again, you have to almost take everything and reverse it to get closer to the truth. Because when we look at the Sumerian legends, they speak of Tiamat as you know, a serpent, a dragon, and Marduk as the hero. Now, Marduk is again, one of those Anunnaki beings that we talk about, and not too nice a being, and, you know, most definitely not a benevolent, loving fatherly figure, not at all.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I did see her coming back together, what was really curious is when the superconscious, that's what is called, is the superconsciousness, kicked in, things started to pull together at a very rapid pace, and she set herself appropriately where she needed to be to get the correct information from the sun. So these planets have their own intelligence, and they know where to go in the cosmos to bring the most balance. And that takes me back to our own bodies. You know, if we allow ourselves to be healthy and get fresh air and eat the right things and do the right things, our body on their own is going to bring itself into balance.
It's a beautiful thing. We have to learn to listen to that innate knowing, that little voice within, which has spoken to me so many times and given me understanding that I'll go back on. I mean, going back to 5 years old when Christmas vacation, sorry guys, I'm really going off on a tangent here. Christmas vacation from kindergarten, I believe it was, or it might have been first grade, but I allowed myself to get sick, and the guide spoke to me and said, you know, you got sick on purpose. You didn't have to get sick. And it was true. I didn't want to go back to school. I didn't want Christmas vacation to ever stop. So I allowed myself to get sick. And then again, when I was a teenager with strep throat, they said the same thing. And I realized it was true. And this has been part of the healing process when I ruptured discs and when I ended up getting Lyme disease. I, you know, again, cured myself naturally. I don't believe in the Western mode of, you know, fixing things. I think it's very, in my humble opinion, and I'm not a DR, again, it's very, very flawed, not to digress too much. So getting back to this is interesting in and of itself, because again, there's much underwater activity going on. We've talked about in the past how on the western side of Antarctica, you have ice melt. There is ice melt going on the western side, but it's loaded with volcanoes and they're going off underneath the ice. This is why everything does change. It's constantly changing. It changes much more than we realize, much quicker than we realize. And again, they always tell us the opposite, pretty much. If they tell you this took 100 million years, you know it probably happened pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. That's something that they keep proving to us, that their math and their science is a wee bit off.
As we can see this seamount area, you see the rise here and notice where it is. It's off the coast of the Philippines. In actuality, it's not too far from Guam. Guam is very interesting as well, and we're going to go into that. On April 24th and 25th, 2001, explosive eruption was detected seismically by a station over here. And they noticed, you know, dead fish. They noticed, you know, just a lack of life. And this is, when you look at all these little dots, you know, this whole area, is very much, you know, beautiful and kind of a tropical paradise with all these islands. And think about it, in the past when we've had full glaciation, you would have so much more exposed. And again, you know, if they tell us we are getting warmer, then we kind of know we're probably getting cooler overall. It's just a given. And when we look at the USGS over here, this is the area that we are looking at again. Now, we had that big one down here, and we still see that we have about 300 quakes at the moment on the planet that they are telling us about. And we see over here right now 11 aftershocks still ringing out. You know, it's interesting because Papua New Guinea that you see here, the U.S. just signed a treaty, a military cooperation treaty. This is critical because, again, yeah, you know, they have a script they have to follow, but at the same time, you know, WAR does happen. People do lose their lives. And again, the generals, and certainly when you go down below the generals, often they don't understand the bigger picture. They don't understand, you know, exactly who the leadership of an individual country will go and report to. So they really do fight, and they do fight hard, and they fight to win. That is, you know, the reality of what's going on right now. And again, same thing in Ukraine and Russia. Yeah, at the highest levels, they're all under the same control. But, you know, again, this is going to be an area where I'm sure we're going to see a lot of conflict. And we certainly did in World War II. I mean, Guam and all these areas, this was major battle zone. And those things are playing out again. By the way, there was a 3.1 up here in Seattle. As you see, this got me looking at Mount Rainier and everything. But Cindy doesn't feel like Rainier is hot. Actually, she was getting the impression of it being cool.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird feeling. You know, I looked and felt that Rainier, and it did. It felt very, very cold. So sometimes you get information, though, and it might be a little bit... there might be a twist to the perspective, and I might not be picking it up the correct way. You know, I am dyslexic. Sometimes things come in backwards. I always have to make those accounts for myself. So, and it was frighteningly cold. So I thought it was a little weird. So we'll see.
Interesting. Silver Peak. Silver, silver and gold. I like silver.
Me too.
I like gold. I remember gold, remember? Anyway. Funny stuff. Austin Powers. Love Austin Powers. So we still have a swarm going on over here. And there has been so much, yes, Anunnaki mining in this area. As we've shared with you, as we've been all over through this area, we're actually living over in this area. Don't forget, here's Ridgecrest. Remember the big Ridgecrest quake? Well, when it went off, we were right over here. So we felt that thing, and it felt like there was, you know, a whole football team pushing the trailer back and forth when that happened. But again, there's abandoned mines. There's legends of people being out here in the 1800s and falling through you know, what appears to be some sort of mine shaft, and finding mummies and statues, just like we heard over in the Grand Canyon area, that is, by the way, blocked off and you can't go look at. They found the same sort of relics that show an advanced civilization over in the area above Ridgecrest, which, by the way, again, is a military base, because they put military bases there so you can't get there. And you can't go poking your nose and realizing that it's really an extraterrestrial and inner earth thing that we have going on here.
Definitely with portals.
Portals everywhere. So going back to Guam, we have Typhoon Mawar now starting to pick up. Main body is touching Guam now. The rain is solid. Winds 20, gusting to 30. But it's going to keep building, as you see. This one, they're talking about being a direct hit on Guam and could be a Category 4. So this makes it a super typhoon as we look at the path. Again, this is right in that area where we have also, I mean, it's going over basically the area where the underwater volcano is active, which also Guam came under U.S. control as a result of the Spanish-American War. Cuba gained its independence, sort of, briefly, sort of. The Philippines came under U.S. control. Puerto Rico came under U.S. control. And, you know, again, Guam was a very, is a very important U.S. military base that was gained as a result of the Spanish-American War about 125 years ago now. By the way, at the height of its power, the Spanish Empire was the largest in the world, as you can see. You know, so much of both Americas was basically under Spanish control. And, you know, also going all the way out to Southeast Asia. A lot of people don't realize this. The U.S. captured one of its most important military outposts from an enemy who didn't even know it was at war. Yeah, in June 1898. And again, this sticks in my mind foremost because I actually had an ancestor that was taking part in this. So, yeah, my mother relayed the information to me as on her side, we were always in the navies. In June 1898, the U.S. Navy sailed to Guam to capture the island from the Spanish. The Spanish didn't know they were fighting the U.S., the ones on the island, and they surrendered the island without a fight. The U.S. is still under possession of Guam. This is 125 years later, and it now hosts some of the U.S.'s most important military bases. Ah, yes, history, isn't it interesting? Even if it is just a story, U.S. Marines officially opened their first base in after 70 years on the island of Guam. This was from this January, another base. There's three main bases over there. So it's just interesting how, you know, we have all the military maneuvering, the military bases, and we see a Category 4, typhoon. Direct hitting, and we also see underwater volcanic activity there, too. And so if we wonder about weather control and earthquake machines, maybe just make you wonder a little bit more.
I don't know. We'll probably get a wiki correcting us somehow.
I'm trying hard.
Hopefully we'll get that badge of honor.
Anunnaki, reptilian humanoids, I'm telling you.
Oh, you did it now.
Now I did it. Yes. Let's see which one they give us, which one takes precedence, reptilian humanoids or Anunnaki.
We'll see.
The Anunnaki are a group of deities. Yeah, we know. Sanford professor says aliens are 100% living amongst us. Dr. Gary Nolan, professor of pathology at Stanford's medical school, made the stunning claim during last week's Salt Eye Connections conference in Manhattan in a session titled The Pentagon, Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and Crashed UFOs. You know, again, crashed UFOs happen more often than you might think. And, you know, again, there's technologies in play that absolutely would blow our mind if we could totally understand them. And even the most advanced technologies can hit glitches when it comes to energy surges. And then you also have to take into account that, you know, we are truly an outpost. We are like Guam. And this is great. Thank you, guides. We are like those people on Guam that don't realize we're fighting in a interdimensional extraterrestrial war, and we just think that we're here by ourselves. No, we've never been by ourselves. We are just a tiny little outpost. You could put it like we are Guam. We're a tiny little island off in the middle of nowhere. The big battle is elsewhere. But we are part of that battle, whether, you know, the masses realize it or not. It doesn't matter. We are part of that battle.
Definitely.
Definitely. So yet another one that says not only that extraterrestrial life has visited Earth, I think you could go a step further. It hasn't just visited. It's been here a long time. And it's still here. Now, you know, if he was the only one, that's one thing. But you have top leaders from Israel, you have top leaders from Canada, you have, you know, people that have been in the military their entire careers that come out and state these truths. It's a little bit of getting you ready because, you know, your life towards, if we do make it through these next handful of years, which are going to be the most challenging ones, many people will see openly extraterrestrials interacting with us.
You know, and right now, too, on so many levels, it's happening right now. It just depends on where are you at when it comes to opening that pineal gland. You know, how much can you see? What do you see beyond the veil? And there's like many different layers to the veil. And, you know, one of the most important ones to realize that if your third eye is starting to open up, once you see that the political structure is just an illusion, well, that's a good sign. Now you're starting to see the truth of things. So there's many different layers that we need to wait for. And it's a slow process, but a lot of people can see it now.
Oh, absolutely. Again, I think, you know, when you look to the quote-unquote modern UFO phenomenon and you look at the people that are under contact, it's massive. And the thing you have to realize too, they're not under contact by the same group. There's different groups. Again, yeah, we'll have people that we've worked with thousands of people over the years with energy healing, with spiritual coaching. We do the Vedic astrology charts as well. And, you know, that question that comes up often is where am I from out there? Where's my real family? Where are they? You know, and again, the first one that probably comes up to most people's minds is Pleiadian. But again, the Pleiades are a newer star cluster. The Pleiades are home to refugees, human refugees and non-human refugees too, from this great battle that has been ongoing. Absolutely. Then we have Arcturians, we have beings from Sirius, we have Andromedans, we have, you know, all sorts of beings from the Orion system. Of course, we have the ones that we call the Draco, the Anunnaki. Who are the Anunnaki? Again, you know, many of them look very, very human. It's because they were, and they were conquered, and they're now part of the Dark Empire. And, you know, very much, it's much more akin to Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica. Do you remember Battlestar Galactica? I mean, that one was a big reveal. You know, who are humans? Humans are leaving their home zone because they're being exterminated by machines, by AI. This is the reality.
Yeah, and it's really can be very bothersome, and if you let yourself sink too far into it, it can bring about a lot of fear. And that's why when I talk with people, you know, you got to keep pulling yourself back into the 3D quite often, because it is disturbing.
Absolutely. But the reality is also, we that stay organic, again, that's the thing, stay organic, stay natural, stay in tune with the earth is going to keep healing. We will keep healing. We just don't give in to this, because again, ultimately we're having a temporary human experience. So right now we're having an experience as a race of beings that has been under attack by something that's very, very non-human and non-organic. That is the ultimate reality. So when we recognize who the adversary is, and after all, that's what Satan really translates to, is the adversary, it's not organic by any means.
No, it's not. Mm.
And again, many people are waking up, and that gives us hope. And this little guy says, I trust in Ma. I trust in the earth. I trust in the intelligence that guides the earth, and the intelligence that has created this universe for consciousness to come and explore in. And we do too.
Yes, and he's just being himself. Isn't that cute?
Yes. So root and ground, again, guys, look to our, if you haven't explored them, well, come over to Heart's Home for some spirituality that's not dogma-based. And when you look at the playlist, you know, go on down and delve into healing through energy work, Qigong, meditation, Reiki, etc. And adapt some of these processes and some of these practices, and they will most definitely help you root and ground and get your frequency back to where it should be. And also most definitely Definitely. I cannot stress the powerful aspects of mantras. So the mantra playlist over here on Heart's Own, you know, find something that's going to resonate with you. You know, again, we were talking to a family member yesterday, and, you know, do you do mantras? Well, yeah, I, you know, whatever it is that they say it in English. It doesn't have the power that Sanskrit has. Sanskrit is derived in the Golden Age and in the Silver Age, and it is a connection to the higher, more benevolent beings that will also open up and clear negative energies from our chakras and our energy body.
It's very powerful, yes.
I don't think there is a more powerful practice in reality, and it is the foundation of our own practice. As always, thanks for your support on Ko-Fi and Patreon. Much love, God bless, and namaste.
Namaste.